And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Welcome. Whether you're listening to us on the radio or on your phone app or online anywhere around the country, welcome. Nice to have you with us. We're going to be talking about a couple of different things here today, a little bit later. Some emergency flood workshops are coming up. And, you know, we've had problems with flooding here in the region over the past couple of years. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. We're also going to be talking about blood clots. The medical term is thrombosis, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And National Thrombosis Day, calling awareness of the dangers of blood clots, which, of course, can lead to stroke and heart attack. We'll be chatting for a couple of minutes about that. But first, we have three alums of Butler County Community College with us here in the studio, as the college will celebrate its Oak Hills Legacy Dinner, recognizing distinguished graduates tomorrow. Let's first say hello to Michelle Jameson. Michelle is the Associate Director of the Butler County Community College Education Foundation. It's always good to see you, Michelle.
You too, Dave.
So the dinner is this weekend, right?
It's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're frantically setting up, and we have about 280 people coming. So the place looks great. It's always a wonderful event.
And you honor distinguished graduates of Butler County Community College.
So far we have over 50 that we've honored in the last, I think this is our 16th, yeah, it's our 16th time of doing the Distinguished Alumni.
And you'll add two more to that list
tomorrow night. We will, yes.
And they're both here in the studio with us.
We're very lucky.
Let's say hello to Linda Ferneski, who's the Executive Director of the Geyser Center here in Butler. Linda, good to see you.
Great to see you too again, Dave. Thank you.
And John Reddick is here as well. John works as an architect with Stantec, the architectural firm here in Butler. John, nice to see you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dave.
John and I are longtime acquaintances. we go way back. I'm not surprised anymore, Michelle, when I find out that someone's a graduate of Butler County Community College, and you've brought many of the distinguished graduate honorees here to the studio over the years. But I didn't know John, for example, was a graduate mm-hmm. of Butler County Community College. Mm-hmm. Associate degree in mechanical drawing, I believe.
Mechanical drafting and design. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And went on with a lengthy career, actually in a number of different places, before you ended up with what was then Burt Hill, right?
Right, right. The day after I graduated from BC3, I started a position at Robinson Industries in Zillion Opal,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Drawing exhaust fans that sat on top of roofs, and it was more of a mechanical drafting type thing. Yeah, and then moved there. A fella named Ron Olson hired me in Butler, civil engineer.
Local engineering firm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And from there, I would have lunch at Diamond Park with some high school friends of mine, and they said Burt Hill was hiring. Would I like to apply there? And they helped me fill out my applications and everything, and I interviewed, and boom, I was hired at Burt Hill, and I've been there for 33 years now.
Hmm. Stantec, which is an international architectural firm, right, took over Burt Hill Kosar Riddleman Associates, right, at that time several years ago. Of course, Burt Hill was international as well. They had offices at various parts of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get to meet the original principals of Burt Hill?
I did. I knew Mr. Howard. He would come in and talk to me on occasion. Everyone in the office knew Mr. Howard. It was quite an experience. And I worked for John Kosar, Dick Riddleman, Alva Hill. Yeah, we had projects together. Yeah, I consider those fellows as foster fathers, you know, that really helped me learn the trade.
Eddie Howard, the late, and I'm not being too familiar when I call him Eddie. Mm-hmm. Ed Howard was one of the founders of the firm. He was the Howard in Howard Burt Hill. I knew him from the Butler Little Theater. He was also extremely active there. In fact, he was made a life member prior to his death. And I interviewed him once. I had him in here. I found out that he had worked quite a bit on the redesign of the Oval Office at the White House. Right. And when I heard that, I said, wow, because, you know, Ed was, he was a quiet guy. I mean, he never went around talking about all his great stuff. So I brought him in, and we just had a wonderful chat. He brought drawings. He had some of the drawings that he had made for the Oval Office, particularly the
shelf.
Yes, the shelf work and some of the cornices around the doors and so on. Designed by Ed Howard, a butler. Who knew?
Right. To this day, when you see a president interviewed in the Oval Office and you see that shell above the bookcases, I think of Mr. Howard.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And Alva Hill, I knew him not as well as Ed, but I knew Alva as well.
Yes. I had a few projects down in Oakland at Montefiore Hospital, the pedestrian bridge between Presby and Montefiore. Mr. Hill ran that, and his son David ran that project, and I helped do the drafting for them. Mm. Yes.
Talk a little bit with Linda Ferneski, also a graduate of Butler County Community College. And Linda, I didn't know that either.
You did not? Okay.
Yeah,
I am. Yeah. I'm very proud and I'm very honored to have been selected.
Your degree was in business, right, at BC3?
It was business, right. Mm-hmm.
And then you went on to get an undergraduate degree?
I left BC3 in 1986 and went up to Slippery Rock, and I obtained a finance degree in business, and I was really well prepared through BC3, and I actually became summa cum laude, and then I went down to Pittsburgh and went to the Katz Graduate School and got an MBA from Katz Pitt.
And you were a basketball player.
Well, I'm not sure you would call it that, but I think my story is different from, definitely different from John's, but not unique. There's a lot of people that have come into BC3 at a very difficult time in their lives, which was my story because I was in a drug and alcohol rehab. It used to be called the Butler A Center, and that's where I am now, the Geyser Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a contract with BC3, and they took us up there twice a week to play basketball and run track and lift weights. And the first time I walked on that campus, I absolutely fell in love with it. And I got to tell you what, I'm still in love with it. I really am. I just love going up there for anything. It's such a beautiful piece of real estate. And just, you know, for me, it was about healing. It was about recovery. It was about, it was an extremely important time in my life for myself. And I always hold that school near and dear.
So it was from going up there to participate in sports that you became aware of the school and ended up enrolling, huh?
Well, I was determined that I was going to go to school there when I got out. I mean, that was a goal. I had that goal because I would just look at the campus and see people, and they just always seemed, you know, like they were enjoying their lives and they were supported by one another and the college wasn't too big. And I did that. I got out of the rehab,
mm-hmm.
and went to school up at BC3. And it was quite an amazing experience because I received a lot of support, which I needed. And, you know, there was it was like no judgment zone. And I had friends that were traditional students and some that weren't. I did consider myself a non-traditional student because I was older than, you know, the high school grads, but you know, there were a couple people up there that really helped me out a lot. Mm-hmm. And I got to say who they are because one of them was Ray McGrath in admissions. And she was so kind to me that she was so kind to me that I just enjoyed, I would stop by to see her even when I didn't need to see her. And the other person from more of an academic standpoint was Dr. Van Peterson. And he helped me. He just we connected. He helped me out a lot on my English stuff, and I remember he used to call me a stingy writer.
A stingy writer?
Stingy. You're really stingy with your words. And I would say, okay. He'd say, when you think you're done writing and you've written everything you need to write, write some more. And that was what I needed to hear because I was I'm more of a numbers person. So he really helped me a lot, and I just that's just two examples.
I knew Van not real well, but I knew him too.
Well, Joan Chu, his wife, had been on our board for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know either one of them well back then. I just knew that Dr. Peterson was really got a lot from his class.
I had the same experience with Dr. Peterson.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have her class, but I had tea in their house one time. So. And Ray McGrath, she was on the faculty too, wasn't she, at one time?
She was. When I first started working there in the alumni program, she sent me an email on how to correctly use alumni, alumnae, alumnus.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
And I still have that saved because I refer to it.
Well, you can come to an old Latin scholar like me, for example, and
right.
I could set you straight on that.
And she was actually a distinguished... an honorary distinguished alum a couple years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Her and her daughter-in-law were both recognized posthumously.
Alumnus is the Latin word, but it's masculine. So when you say alumni, which is the plural,
I know.
technically it refers to men. So we can say that John is an alumnus, but Linda would be an alumna.
And together, Linda and I are alumnae.
That's correct.
Okay.
There'll be a quiz on this, by the way.
Hey, Michelle, why don't you send me that email so I can print that?
Actually, it's common usage in America that I just say alum.
Right.
So then that becomes, you know, non-gender specific.
Right.
Okay, enough of that, Michelle.
Sorry.
Well, that would be Ray, though.
That is Ray.
To be right on top of that. Yeah.
Right, right.
One of the early... instructors, professors at the Butler County Community College was also a mentor of mine, the late Margot Pitts. Did either of you have Margot for class?
I didn't, but I knew her.
She taught psychology and maybe the rare English class, I'm not
maybe
sure.
So.
I know she did psychology. And, of course, mentored the fledgling drama group at Butler County Community College.
The Pioneer Players.
The Pioneer Players, yeah. If she would have only had a theater like the Suckup Theater while she was still alive, she'd have been in seventh heaven.
Right.
So there's a big dinner tomorrow. Do the distinguished alums for this year, John and Linda, do they speak a few words?
They are our keynote speakers for tomorrow night. We also have a student speaker. His name is Gregory Miller. He'll be speaking as well.
And what's the occasion for him? Is he a top-notch student, or how is he selected?
He's a member of our President Scholars Program, and he was recommended by Mike Dittman, the coordinator of that program.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to provide the donors with different perspectives from a current student and from past students.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just student stories are great, whether they're living them right now or they lived them before. But the stories are awesome, and we'd like to share them with the donors.
There are scholarships, many of them available for potential students at Butler County Community College. Some of our listeners might not realize that.
But at this point, I've just added Nancy Jean Rose just added 5 scholarships, one for each of our children. So that's very cool. So I think that takes us up to 130 scholarships at this point.
Hmm. And people can fund those in memory, perhaps, of a family member or something like that?
Sure. We get in memory. We get in honor.
Mm-hmm.
I did one for myself because I had wished that there was financial help out there for me when I was a student. And so I created a scholarship. This was the first year my scholarship was awarded. I took some time to pay for it, build it up, and this was the first year. So,
you can do that, by the way, over a period of years.
Yes, we allow donors to take 3 to 5 years to get to the endowment level, mm-hmm. which is $15,000, but then the scholarship lasts forever. We also do annual scholarships, which are when someone makes a gift and it's awarded right out that same year.
Who do people get in touch with if they want to explore that further?
Well, they could get a hold of me. My number is 724-287-8711, and my extension is 8235.
You're the one, huh?
I am the one. Yeah, they call me the scholarship guru up there. So,
You've also been involved over the years in attempting to compile a complete list of all of the folks who attended Butler County Community College.
We'd like to get current information. The world is so transient now, and when people come to BC3, chances are they're living possibly with a parent, and so then they move, and then all we have is their parent's address. Mm-hmm. So on our, if you go onto bc3.edu, there's an alumni part where you can update your information, and I just get an email, and it tells me people's new addresses, new phone numbers, that kind of thing.
And just because someone might be living in Spokane or, you know, New Mexico or something like that, it's still not easy to trace them, even in today's day and age, because in many cases, particularly through marriage, names have changed.
That's true. That's especially hard with the females, because when they get married, they no longer have the name that they had while they were attending BC3.
So what's the ballpark figure, the grand total of people who have attended Butler County Community College in the, well, it's now 50-plus years.
Right. At this point, we refer to 24,000, but that's only people who have earned 45 credits or more.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people who have come to BC3, used the credits, transferred, but we had to pick a number. So at this point, we picked 45 credits because that meant that the person was on campus for at least 3 semesters.
Still a pretty amazing number, don't you think?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. We'll take a break. I want to talk with John and with Linda about some of their thoughts, memories perhaps, of attending Butler County Community College in advance of the Oak Hills Legacy Dinner, which takes place tomorrow night. So we'll take a quick break and then be back and talk more with our guests. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Folks, how do you think a shoe store could stick around in downtown Butler for 126 years. That's amazing when you think about it, 126 years. They have literally serviced generations, generation upon generation of Butler families with their shoe needs. And they wouldn't still be here if they weren't doing the job, that's for sure. They have shoes for every member of the family, men, women, teens, kids. They've got athletic shoes. Almost all the big-name brands are there at Miller's. You can stop by and find Nike and Reebok and New Balance and Saucony and Rockport and Keds and Skechers and Easy Spirit and Asics and Pro-Pet. There's no need to go to 3 or 4 different stores. They got them all. Got them all under one roof. Also, famous name brand shoes that you know are going to last. They're good shoes, Rockport, Hush Puppies. And they're your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. The most comfortable shoes you'll ever slip on. And they're made in America, too. SAS. Always lots of shoes on sale, too. On racks for easy browsing, ladies and men. Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Stop in. Browse around. You'll get a friendly smile from the Ciprians at Miller's Shoes. We will be right back with more of the Friday edition of It's Your Turn right after these words. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 south at Thorncrest Drive. My good friends are having a nice chat with our guests, distinguished alums from Butler County Community College. They'll be honored at the Oak Hills Legacy Dinner tomorrow night. John Reddick is with us, Linda Franeschi is here, and Michelle Jameson, too, who's I also consider a distinguished alum.
Oh, thanks.
From Butler County Community College. Let's talk a little bit about your thoughts on BC3. Valuable experience for you, John Reddick?
Very valuable experience for me, Dave. It gave me confidence. You know, coming out of high school, the only thing I was really confident in was playing center field for the local Legion and Prep League teams. And I had all the confidence in the world when I was out there. But academically, in high school, I did well. I hung out with students who were overachievers, and they were all going to different schools across the United States, and I wasn't quite sure if I was able to do college-level work. And BC3 gave me that confidence.
Did you graduate from Butler High School?
I graduated from Butler High in 1979. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so we just had a reunion recently this year. Yeah, and decided to go to BC3 to play baseball for Tom Beckett. He was the coach at the time. And during the 70s, BC3 traditionally had very good baseball teams. A lot of my older teammates had played for him, and I wanted to as well. So I took my glove and my bat, and I went up to BC3 to play ball for Tom Beckett. Had 21 credits, quite a load at the time, but general studies. And I was studying all by myself. I remember I was quite the loner back then, but was on the baseball team. And then, as the story goes, we were at Beaver County Community College, and a teammate of mine, between games of a doubleheader, Beaver County Community College has a dome gymnasium there, and he wanted to walk over and take a look at it. And he asked me to go with him, and he said that how much he liked architecture and that BC3 had a wonderful architecture program and a drafting program. And I was so timid that I wouldn't even admit that I liked architecture as well, that I just kind of kept everything to myself. But that always stayed with me, standing there with him, listening to him talk about architecture. That memory stayed with me, and actually, after that semester, I had dropped out. Gave my money back. I remember Mrs. Bertner wondering, thinking I was crazy that I was giving this money back and I was going to work for a while. Worked at a couple of different jobs around Butler. And then I thought, at the advice of a friend, Mike Moran, who was a mentor of mine, said, John, I think you're selling yourself short. You should go back and get a formal education. And so I went back up to BC3, met with Mr. Shawless, who was in charge of the drafting architecture program at the time. And he greeted me as if he was waiting for me to come up. Like, he knew my father, and he said, where have you been? You know, I've been waiting for you to come here. And
wow.
It was just really an eye-opener. So he encouraged me to sign up. I did. And 2 years later, graduated in 1984. And, was able to get a job the very next day out of school. They called me before I graduated and said they wanted me come and work with them at Robinson Industries. And,
great story.
Yeah.
And by the way, still a very fine drafting and architectural field of study at BC3, but it's all computer drafting now, isn't
right.
it?
Right, right. Yeah. Actually, I, as a follow-up, years later, just in the last 5 years, I've gone back up. A coworker of mine, Nathan Warner, taught a Revit class, a 3D computer-aided drafting class, and I went up in the evening and took that class from Nathan just as a refresher. Mm. So, yes.
Talk a little bit about Linda. You already said earlier, Linda, that you will forever be grateful for what Butler County Community College did for you at the time in your life that you matriculated there.
So my story is, there's a lot of stories that are non-traditional, such as mine, but my particular story is I am from the city of Pittsburgh, inner city, which is where I grew up. And now I've made Butler my home. And I think one of the threads for me was the college. And because it had given me such a good start. Now, here's the difference. I didn't know anybody on the campus, and they treated me like I was a hometown girl. And, like, the support I received was fantastic. So I think that speaks to just the welcoming atmosphere of that school. And, you know, I always felt like I was very supported, and I would go on to say that my experience was, like, really, I would almost use the word spiritual, because I found out a lot about who I was. And for me today to end up at the same rehab that I started with as the executive director, which, you know, you always say if I could have ever guessed, I would have been wrong, but oh, there's no way I could have even guessed that I would, you know, return back to Butler to take on this role. But, you know, I just feel so strongly there's such a, you know, a need in this community, and I believe that, you know, BC3 prepared me for just that level of compassion. And this is a, the job I have now is, you know, it's really, I got to tell you, we go every day, we go out there and we fight for your children's lives. We fight for them and we fight for your, we advocate for you. And we see a lot of people, I mean, we see quite a few of them that follow my path and they go to BC3 and they go on from there. And I almost think it should be a prerequisite. I mean, if something mandatory when you do finish treatment, because it does put you back in mainstream of life. And, you know, I've been very blessed. There's no words to say how blessed I have been just through those experiences. I cannot predict what it would have been for me if I would have not chose to do that.
You majored in business administration, right, at BC3?
Well, I did, and I was so confused. I mean, I didn't have, you know, I was just coming, you know, I was coming from a very conflicted life, and, you know, I didn't know whether I wanted to be a horticulturist or an accountant. Mm-hmm. So they were pretty broad strokes away from each other, and I ended up, I found out three things there. I found out that I was a good student. I found out that I was really great with numbers. And then I found out that I was pretty smart, that I didn't realize that I had the abilities to, you know, really embrace the financial aspect. And I wanted to see that through. So I did see that through. I went to Slippery Rock and then to Pitt, which I majored in finance in both of them. And who would have ever dreamed that I would be at a rehab center and financially, you know, is what it's taken to keep the place growing that we have today.
Wonderful stories. Obviously, you can see how Butler County Community College has left its mark on these two distinguished grads. Yeah. Good choices, Michelle, for these two to be honored this year. Highly successful careers in architecture and in helping those who battle addiction of any kind. Linda Ferneski is the executive director of the Ellen O'Brien Geiser Treatment Center here in Butler. And John Reddick, long career with first Burt Hill and now Stantec architectural firm here in Butler. They'll both be honored tomorrow night at the Oak Hills Legacy Dinner. Is it a sellout, Michelle?
Yes, it's very full.
It always is. I've been to the dinner a couple of times.
Right.
One of my former colleagues, Mike Franco, was named a distinguished grad a few years ago. You have to go a ways to top his speech, I want to tell you this. Nice to see you here, John, Linda, good to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Well-earned honor here. Michelle, always good to see you, too.
You too, Dave. Thanks for having us on.
Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, this is pretty cool, there are some emergency flood workshops coming up in the very near future over the next few weeks. And we'll talk about that and find out all about it. Rich Wilson from PA Volunteers will be visiting with us next. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR Friday Edition. Stick around. Back with more in just a couple of minutes.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. If I'm trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels, with Goin Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goin Postal Butler. Welcome back, good friends. Friday edition. It's your turn. Dave Malarkey is my name. Rich Wilson stops into the studio to chat with us. Rich is with the PA Volunteers, and he's going to fill us in on some workshops that are coming up in the not-too-distant future. First of all, Rich, good to see you again. Nice to have you here.
Well, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. It's always good to be here.
We have had, actually, you can go back decades, we've had some flood problems now and then in the city of Butler. But more recently, over the past few years, we've had some pretty serious stuff. I understand there are some emergency flood workshops coming up.
Yes, there are. One of the things that we've done, the Pennsylvania Volunteers, what we've done, we've talked and made our way all around the county. And we've identified three primary now. It's not to say the rest of the place doesn't flood, but three primary areas where flooding has become a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
City of Butler, of course. We have two big places down there, the West End and then the South End down by Monroe Street. So we've identified those. One of the other locations is Conequenessing Borough, Conequenessing Township, and Forward Township.
Along the Conequenessing Creek.
Right there.
Yeah.
And Evans City is involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly is Zillion Opal, Harmony, Jackson, and Lancaster Township. It hasn't been that long. I remember seeing the videos of water running down Main Street of Zillion Opal, and I'm thinking, good Lord. You know, that's it's not real high, but it's higher than a lot of areas around there, but it still causes a problem. And a lot of it's flash flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really sure what goes on. So we thought, and when we're talking to these people, we're asking them different things, and there seems to be a commonality in the questions that they have and have had for a while. And so we thought, you know what? Let's just approach some of these municipalities and say we'd like to come in and do a free workshop, flood disaster workshop, for anybody who's either been affected by it, know somebody who is. I don't care if they're residential or if they're a business. It doesn't matter. And we've got a lot of cooperation with this, and we've put it together. And the first one is going to be on October the 19th. That's a Saturday.
It's a week from tomorrow.
From 10 in the morning till noon, 10 to noon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be at the fire station downtown in Butler. They're pulling all the fire trucks out, putting tables and chairs in there, and we'll go ahead with a three-stage workshop. And they'll all be the same, with the exception of we have somebody from that area. Like, for example, we have not only the Butler City Emergency Management Coordinator, but also there's going to be a representative there from Public Works, and they're going to explain to everybody, here's what's been causing this, here's what we're doing to fix this, here's roughly how long it's going to take, because that's not an overnight thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen pictures. I wasn't around here then, but I've seen pictures before the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers rerouted Sullivan Run.
Yes.
We used to get a lot more frequent flooding in the island section of the city of Butler.
Yes.
That's why they called it the island, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. because the Sullivan Run, before it flowed into the Conequenessing, used to pretty much encircle that area.
Right.
So the feds came in, the Army Corps of Engineers, and they dug a new ditch, a big ditch, and rerouted Sullivan Run, and that helped some of the problem, but that's still low-lying. And when you think about it, folks, from any direction that you're coming into Butler, you're going down a hill whether it's South Main Street Hill or North Main Street Hill, or you're coming down Mercer Road Hill, or you're coming down Newcastle Hill, and all the water collects at the bottom of the hill, and that's the bottom of the bowl, if you will, and that's the west end of the city of Butler. That's where it all goes.
That's very true, and it picks up speed as it goes. One of the things a lot of people are just that marvel at is how fast that water actually moves when it's flooding. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's moving. So
I grew up along the Allegheny River, and so I'm aware of just how fast high water moves during a flood. It's very dangerous, and the force of it is terrific. It can move cars. It can move homes in a nanosecond. What's it cost to attend either one of these two workshops a week from tomorrow or on November 2nd?
Nothing. It's absolutely free. We're doing this because we want to make sure that people in this county and in this particular time in Butler that need this information can get it. It's more important to make sure they're safe. There's no cost to any of this, mm-hmm. none of it. But we do have it broken down into three distinct groups. We have the first thing we'll be doing is talking about, of course, what you do before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's where the individual from Butler Public Works will talk a little bit about that. Then we'll also talk about the county has a program called Code Red, where it's a free app they can put on their phone, and it will give them alerts based on the location that you put on there. So if there's an impending flood, you'll get notified ahead of time right through your phone. It costs nothing. But it's one of those kind of things that's really, really, really good to have.
And these flash floods, especially after heavy rains, they come up real fast.
Absolutely fast. The other thing that another thing we're going to be talking about before that, we have a man by the name of Brian Scholes. He's with the Mitchell Insurance Agency on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he is recognized as an expert on flood insurance. Because I contacted Harrisburg. I said, who do we have? And their names come up. So he's going to talk to everybody about what it is and what it isn't, what flood insurance covers, what it doesn't cover. In fact, how often it changes. There was just major changes to that flood insurance regulations on October the 6th.
I didn't know that.
Days
ago.
Just changed. Also, he's going to talk about homeowners because a lot of people say, well, I have homeowners, so I should be okay. They go to file it and find out that that may not be the case. So,
yeah, homeowners insurance, and this is all across the country.
Yes.
Does not cover flooding. It seems silly. I mean, what do you have homeowners insurance for?
Right.
Obviously fire and other stuff, but it doesn't cover flooding.
No. In fact, there's usually a very small little half a sentence long type of thing buried in all the red tape that says, oh, and this policy covers nothing that was damaged or destroyed due to floods.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And then it goes on with something else. So a lot of people, I mean, how many times does anybody really read? I mean, even myself, you know, when you get that stuff on the computer, I'm sure you've seen those things. Read all of this, and if you agree, press yes. I never read that.
It's like 13 pages
13
long.
13 pages long. And quite honestly, the older I get, the harder it is to read some of that stuff that small. So we want to make sure people are aware of this is what has to happen and how that kind of thing goes. And the other cool thing we're doing in this segment is one of the people who we partner with is Lowe's. And their assistant manager, Mark Dominsbeck, is going to be coming down. And he's talking about hydraulic cement. A lot of people say, well, how do I keep water from coming in the walls of my basement? I mean, because some of these people say, hey, it's like a faucet. Mm-hmm. It just pours in. Well, hydraulic cement will do that.
Huh.
It'll take care of it. There is it's a little tricky to use because it hardens within 2 minutes. You cannot make a large batch. You have to make very small batches. But it is so good, it'll completely stop running water. So it sets underwater even.
I've never heard of that. That's terrific.
And it's not that expensive. And he's going to be talking about that. Hopefully we're going to have a demonstration of that. And it's just one of those kind of things that if you want to do this, that's the stuff to use. And they're going to talk all about it. They're going to talk about other things that you can use during flooding, because I've heard people say, well, I've tried to mortar my basement to keep it from going. The mortar just washes right out. It just doesn't work. This does.
Talking with Rich Wilson from Pennsylvania Volunteers. The group is teaming up with the city of Butler to host two workshops, flood disaster workshops. They're free, and they're going to be held a week from tomorrow, Saturday, October 19th, and then again on November 2nd at the City of Butler Fire Station. And these are 10 o'clock in the morning and both start at 10 a.m.?
They will start at 10 a.m. We'll be there a little bit early. And we'll all of our people who are speaking, we'll be staying a little bit after that. Mm-hmm. So if people have questions, if they want to know anything more about it, we want to make sure everybody gets the information they need. And to do it on a regular basis. So that's why both of these are the same program. But we know what happens. Somebody will see it and they'll talk to their neighbor and go, hey, did you see that? I didn't know anything about it. Okay, well then go to the next one. You know, so, and they can look for the ad for it in the WISR news sheet.
Excellent.
Just saying.
Excellent. Take a quick break. Back to talk a little bit more with Rich Wilson here on It's Your Turn in just a moment.
The days and weeks immediately following the loss of a loved one are so difficult, so personal. You think, does anybody really understand how I feel? I can't even understand it myself. I wish I could talk to someone about it. Well, you can. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique program called Someone's Caring. It's carefully and sensitively designed to help you ease the pain, to help you fill the gaps when you feel so alone. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, men are beginning to realize it's okay to express their feelings in a small group setting. They're finding that it really helps. We offer four programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, and individual sessions. Our own trained bereavement specialist Robin S. Miller personally conducts the sessions. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Chatting with Rich Wilson, Pennsylvania Volunteers, about two free flood disaster workshops that are going to be coming up here in the Butler area over the next few weeks. So you're going to be talking about prevention, insurance options, and also cleanup, which is a concern after a flood.
Yes. The second section is during the flood, where we're going to talk about sheltering, because if you have to be displaced from your home and don't have a place to go, the Pennsylvania Volunteers, we're the ones who set up the shelters. We use some of the Red Cross shelter equipment, and we use their protocol because that's a standard nationwide. Mm-hmm. So we use that. So anytime that you see a shelter being set up in the county, that's us. We do it. And so we want to make sure everybody understands that everyone is allowed to come to that. We've had people say, well, like the last time we set it up during the ice storm, they said, well, we sat in our house for 5 days because we didn't know we qualified. Well, it's not a matter of qualifying. If you have a need, we'll do what we can to take care of it.
It's good that you mentioned that, because we will soon be coming up on the anniversary, one-year anniversary of that. It took place just before Thanksgiving,
yes,
so that's more than a month away.
Yeah, I remember that, you know. And then at the end, like you said, we're going to be talking afterwards about what to do after the flood. We have Team Rubicon coming in, who are partners with us. We're VOED, Pennsylvania VOED partners. And so we're pretty close to Team Rubicon.
Team Rubicon?
Team Rubicon is a large group of retired or ex-military who get together and do things, and they're nationwide, and they go all over the world, and they specialize in things like mucking out basements during flooding, disaster, post-disaster relief. They do an exceptionally good job. They also help us with unsolicited, untrained volunteers. They'll want to come and help, but they have no particular skill, or they maybe don't have their clearances. And so we can make a quick call. Team Rubicon will send people in, take them, train them, and then go with them to maybe muck a house or take care of some different things like that.
Weren't they here in the west end of Butler?
Oh, yeah.
It was not this most recent summer, but the summer before when we had those really, really bad floods in the west end. Didn't they come in and help clean up?
Yes, they did. They did. It's an amazing group. People, amazing. We even have one of the people's coming up from Washington, D.C., this part of their team, just to help with these workshops. And what they're going to talk about is, how do you know it's safe when you go back into your home after the flood? What kind of things you should be looking for? Here's what mucking is and what it's not. The other important part about that is when I was talking to them, they said, you know, we were really upset because in Butler, the last time we had a flood, we had some people who were approached by what they considered out-of-town contractors who they just pulled up in a truck and said, hey, we'll muck your basement for you, especially to the elderly. Charged them $5,000 to do that and paid them. Rubicon does it for free. I mean, there's no cost to it. So there's always people who will pray on other people at times like this. So they'll be talking about all of those things, about the different things that go on like that. We'll be also be talking about the 2-1-1 system, because if you're not sure what to do afterwards and you really have nowhere to turn, 2-1-1 is the way to go. Just dial 2-1-1, you'll get a referral. They'll let you know exactly who you can call and take care of. So the other interesting thing about this, it ties in with what Pennsylvania Volunteers does as well, is there are people in the city that say, you know, I'd like to really be able to help outside of that. We go, absolutely, that's easily done. And the city asked us, they said, do you guys have any programs like that you can do over and above this? And we were talking about the CERT program, the Community Emergency Response Teams. There are 8 of us in Pennsylvania Volunteers who are trainers. We're certified trainers through the Commonwealth and through Homeland Security. So we actually can sit and set this up and train these people to do these kind of things and get them, you know, to be able to not only protect their own loved ones, but their neighbors, their friends, their family, and things like that. So
how do people who might be interested get in touch with Pennsylvania Volunteers?
Oh, that's easy. All you have to do is you can go to www.pavolunteers.org, and everything is there. It's, you know, all the things that we do, when we do it, how we do it. It gives information on, if you want more information, how to contact us. It has an application there. It's like $25 a year to belong to us, and that basically covers the insurance, because we have insurance on everybody. We make sure that you don't do anything today without insurance. You know, and if you're a student, it's only $15. So.
Well, it used to be not too long ago that, you know, you heard people talking about a 50-year flood or a 100-year flood. Boy, not anymore.
No.
We've had remnants of hurricanes that have hit us here in western Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Irma, not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And there was another one. I forget the name.
Remember right Ivan? Now.
Ivan, yes.
Yeah, 2004.
And there have been many. And then it's not just a hurricane. It's the... the rains, the last two springs and the last two summers, we've just been inundated with rains. We've had trees coming down all over the place. We've had landslides all over western Pennsylvania, and we've had flash flooding from all of these rains. So this is even more important than ever, I should think.
And that's what we believe, too. And like I said, we're doing two here in Butler. Then we're going to take two in the Conequenessing Forward Township area, Evans City, and then we'll do two more in the southern part of the county, down around Zillion, Opal Harmony. We have pictures of Harmony during Ivan, where people were driving, you know, paddling boats right down the main street, and it's like, oh, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
I've seen pictures of people being rescued from the Renfrew area and Harmony area by boat during these high waters and along the Conequenessing. That's a fast-moving stream to begin with, but boy, that rises quickly and it goes fast.
It's merciless. Mm. It has no, you know, rhyme or reason to it.
Well, let us know when those subsequent workshops are coming up.
We will.
But for the immediate future, there are two of them coming up at the City of Butler Downtown Fire Station, week from tomorrow, Saturday, October 19th, and then again on November 2nd, 10 a.m. until noon. If you might find this helpful, or maybe you know somebody in your family or your circle of friends or in
your business,
your church group, yeah, whatever.
Churches,
make
anything.
Make sure they know about it.
Absolutely.
And it's free. You don't have to register in advance or anything?
Nope. Just show up. You know, we're not. This is something we're doing just because we want to make sure the people in our communities get the information they have and are safe. Hmm. That's what's important.
Good to know, and it's good to have a group like Pennsylvania Volunteers. Rich
well,
Wilson,
thank you
you're
so much.
Charter member, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You are.
Yeah, yeah. Vice president of it, actually.
I can remember some years ago when you were in here to talk about the formation of this group.
Oh, so, yes, that's true. Yeah. That's true, and it's moved very quickly and quite well.
Good to see you again, Rich.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Always happy to do this. And remember, you can get more information on this and the WISR news sheet. Don't forget to check that out.
We have just a couple of minutes left on the program today. We want to talk for just a couple of minutes about thrombosis. There's a national day to call in mind the dangers of this. Blood clots is what we're talking about. And we will chat about that with the guest in just a moment. Be right back.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Listeners, coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about World Thrombosis Day. Two guests to fill us in on this, including Dr. Elaine Heilick, MD, Professor of Medicine at Boston University School of Medicine, and Sam Perry visits with us as well. She survived a blood clot when she was just 19 years old. Let's first ask Dr. Elaine Heilick, thrombosis, just what is that and why is that an often overlooked health concern?
So thrombosis is a medical term used to describe these blood clots that really look like grape jelly when you look at them under a microscope. And it really is responsible for about 1 in 4 deaths worldwide. And we include in this umbrella heart attacks, strokes, as well as the DVTs that occur in the leg. And when they break off, they can cause a pulmonary embolus to the lung. They're critically important because the symptoms are often overlooked or attributed to something else by patients. And unfortunately, because the presentation sometimes is nonspecific, they can even be missed in emergency rooms. So it's important that patients understand what to look for.
Sam Perry, you survived a blood clot when you were just 19 years old. Did you have any symptoms or signs, or was it totally unexpected?
I did have signs and symptoms, but at the time I didn't recognize them because I wasn't as aware of blood clots as I am now. I was coughing up blood. I had extreme pain in my back and my leg, and you know, I'm sure that I had shortness of breath. I just didn't realize it because I was an athlete and I felt like I was always short of breath. But I am very lucky to be here, and it's great to be able to spread the word as the campaign manager of World Thrombosis Day.
Are these common signs and symptoms, Dr. Halleck?
Well, the shortness of breath, I think, for pulmonary emboli, that often is a feeling that individuals experience. But I've had patients that have attributed this to a cold or thought that they were getting asthma. And really, that results in a delay in getting the critical anticoagulation medicine that you need. So it's important for our listeners to realize shortness of breath, that feeling that you can't take in a full inhalation, is never a normal sign, and really should seek care.
Sam, what happened to you? Obviously, I'm assuming you made it to a hospital and things were taken care of.
I did. I made it to a hospital, and I was lucky enough to have some great people watching over me, great doctors, and they were able to get all but 4 inches of the clot out of my system, and I'm very lucky today that I'm able to live a very healthy life. I definitely take precautions with everything that I do to make sure that I don't get another blood clot, but I'm very, very lucky.
You said 4 inches? So this was a pretty big clot, I guess, huh?
It was from my hip to my shin.
My
when
goodness.
They caught it.
My goodness. So you got to the hospital, and fortunately were okay. But I understand, Dr. Heilig, that actually being in the hospital is a major risk factor for thrombosis. How could that be?
Well, that's exactly correct. Being in the hospital, about 60% of the DVTs and PEs that are ultimately diagnosed occur either in the hospital or within a 90-day window of being discharged. And the reasons for that, largely it's related to surgery. It can be related to trauma, the condition that got you into the hospital. We know that infection, like pneumonia and bed rest, prolonged bed rest and infection and surgeries, all really increase the risk of our blood getting sticky and causing a blood clot.
Well, if you have a loved one in the hospital, is there anything you can do to reduce the risk of developing a blood clot?
Well, I'll tell you, on a national basis, we've really pushed hard for rigorous scoring systems that are part of electronic medical records now, that physicians will look at patient characteristics, the surgical characteristics, and if the patient is deemed to be, you know, at moderate or high risk, we really are aggressive at instituting some type of prophylaxis, which can really be in the form of an oral medicine or else in the form of an injectable. A medicine like a heparin. But it's really important that patients, you know, they should ask their surgeon, you know, hey, am I at high risk, and what are we doing about my clot risk?
World Thrombosis Day is coming up on October 13th. Sam Perry, what's your involvement in this? You're a spokesperson?
I am the campaign manager for World Thrombosis Day, so I oversee the global campaign and help spread the awareness throughout the world.
Unfortunately, few people are aware of the dangers caused by blood clots. I understand, Dr. Heilig, that events related to blood clots cause more deaths each year in the U.S. and in Europe than breast cancer, HIV, and motor vehicle accidents combined. That's a pretty amazing statistic, isn't it, Doctor?
Yes, it is, and that's the reason that we are working hard to hopefully open people's eyes at how serious this risk is.
Dr. Heilig is a professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine, and she got her doctorate in medicine from the University of Pittsburgh. Wow, we know where that is.
Yes, I did. Go Pitt.
Indeed, go Pitt. Folks, think about this, especially if you have someone in the hospital or going there. Be aware. Sam Perry, Dr. Elaine Heilig, thanks for chatting with us today. This is good stuff to know. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Sure. So long now.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, and ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. They tossed the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.